Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Matt, do you know what a dream is?
What?
It's a great idea that doesn't have a website yet.
Well, you know who could make that dream a reality?
Who?
Squarespace!
Oh, Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website.
Showcase your work, blog, or publish content, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks.
Oh boy, with 24/7 award-winning customer support, you can customize everything from the look and feel to the settings and products using beautiful templates created by world-class designers.
And there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever.
Oh, boy, how do you become a part of this? Well, you can just head to squarespace.com/bond for a free trial.
And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BOND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Matt and Keith Bonding Podcast.
My name is Matt.
My name is also Matt. This is James Bonding.
And we're not the only returning people here. In fact, we're happy to have Danny Snow back here tonight. Danny, you are 12 days from your wedding. How are you feeling?
I'm losing my mind. But it's fine. I will soon be a Price, not a Snow.
Oh, my God.
Price, good
These are great.
Those are both
You're
good
both
last
great
names.
Last names. Yes.
Do you wish it was spelled with a Y, like Jonathan Price?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'll make it work.
Do you have any James Bond, how should I say, wedding songs or moments or anything in there?
Not really.
I totally understand that.
It's kind of keeping the wedding...
normal.
Yeah, I've got... It was like,
respectable.
How much geek do we put in this?
Yeah,
like, we
I
will
understand.
Be drinking from those... Lord of the Rings goblets.
Oh, well,
sure.
Now that's...
King ones.
Well, buckle
now
up.
Now that's pretty geeky.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, those will be good.
Yeah.
Is your future husband a fan of the Bond franchise?
He is.
Is he going to try to sneak a watch in or some nice cufflinks? Does he have any inklings towards doing something like that?
So.
Wow.
I don't think so. Hmm. Yeah, he's keeping it pretty chill.
Yeah.
But he is a fan.
Yeah.
I've watched more of the movies than he has.
Sure.
But he did throw me a birthday party, James Bond birthday
yeah.
party.
Oh,
so sweet.
Is he going to wear a tuxedo?
No, it's summer and it's outdoors. So
sure.
Let's give you some tweed vests.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, might I recommend? I'm sure it's
tweed.
Already like all set, but... If I could direct him to the suit that Pierce Brosnan is wearing at the end of The World Is Not Enough.
You
that
would direct
is a
traffic
summer,
to that suit.
That is a summer wedding suit.
The shirt tucked in.
The shirt tucked in.
It is a fine outfit. It is. Just for swimming.
For swimming and saving the world, stopping a nuclear meltdown, and also, I think, for getting married in North Carolina. I think it's the best suit.
Could work.
It's probably the most versatile suit
Works
he's ever worn,
everything.
Matt.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't love it as much as me.
I do love it. Don't get me wrong.
I said as much.
You're right. Well, it's impossible to love it as much as you love it.
So true. Oh, it's so true.
Well, today we're going to talk Bond girls, and we're especially excited to have you here because last time you were on, you said that specifically you have some thoughts on this, as many people do, and I think both Matt and I are excited to hear how we approach this, because it's not something, obviously, we do all these dumb ranking episodes, and both Matt and I don't feel comfortable going, let's just rank the Bond girls, you know? That seems somehow very Bondian.
We have not...
in a way that we isn't
well,
good.
Well, you know that he probably ranks them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Oh, he must.
He has a little black book.
Diary.
Remember little black books?
I sure do. That was a plot point in many an episode of Cheers.
That's right.
Hello, Sam.
Oh, sorry. I'll be louder.
No, it wasn't you. The mic was not facing the right way. So it's obviously a feature of the Bond franchise, but also a bug. In many of the ways it's been handled and portrayed, even it's controversial with our listeners, of course. And but we're looking forward to talking with you about it. So
good.
Yeah,
I have a lot of thoughts, but I also, you know, it'll be nice to hear what your thoughts are too.
So. Yeah.
Oh, happy to share. Yeah. I'm also like, I gotta be honest. The definition of a Bond girl, I find it to be confusing.
Well, even the term "girl" too is. I find myself
that's
like.
That's a good point.
Yes, exactly. Right.
I find myself, since we've podcasted, going like, ooh, Bond girl just doesn't feel right, but that's what it's always been known as.
It's so funny you say that, because last night I was talking to Dory about this particular episode, and I was saying, and Matt's right, we do need more. Matt was saying how it's a sausage fest on the podcast last night, and I was like, yeah, we need more girls. And my wife was like, girls?
Women.
And I was like, Bond girls, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that, that became the terminology, because they were all very young early on. I mean, Maude Adams was probably, how old was she?
She was in her, well.
In her Baluchis.
In her, no, she wasn't in yet in her Baluchis. She was in her 30s, I would think.
I just can't really think of any that are a little bit older, or at least look older.
Yeah. Honor Blackman was, I think,
that's true.
A couple years older than Connery when they did Goldfinger, but that's a definite anomaly.
Yeah.
Not as old as him.
She doesn't come off like a girl.
No. I mean, if ever that's there was a Bond woman,
Yeah.
Let's go with Bond woman tonight, I guess.
Yeah, or we could say that.
Lady.
We could say Bond girl. It's, I don't know. I think breaking down the term is weird.
Yeah.
Is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's offensive to say it.
Yeah, because it's also just understood.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a grandfather
phrase. We didn't come up with it.
Right? No, I know. Bond broads. Yeah. We didn't come up with that.
I mean, should we even be saying Bond gadgets anymore?
Right.
Everything's an app now.
Do you want Bond mechanisms?
Hmm.
Like Bond conveniences.
That will go over really well, I bet.
What's your favorite Bond convenience? The toothpaste that could blow up also.
So where should we start? Where would you like to start?
Let's see. I took a bunch of notes.
Oh.
Take a glance.
On a Star Wars Return of the Jedi, Luke and Vader fight
folder.
That's
why you get a plain notebook when you can get Star Wars.
That is good looking.
Also, it's kind of hard not to get Star Wars. It's everywhere.
These days, yeah.
Yeah. You go to the store, you're like, oh, I need a cup.
Yeah.
And the only thing there is Star Wars cups.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw a very funny Reddit cartoon. It was an old Mickey Mouse cartoon of him walking with a bunch of empty pails towards this cow that had been, that is just a very skinny cow that clearly had no milk left in it. And they just put instead of a bell around its neck, they just put Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, do I even get that?
They're milking.
He's going to go try and meet
the drive. They're milking the Star Wars drive.
There's nothing left.
That's like a regular old political cartoon there. Biting satire.
Yeah.
My
way
God.
To go, Reddit.
The internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess maybe we could like break down the role of a Bond girl.
Love
because
it.
I think they each kind of serve a different purpose in the film, like an intended purpose. Sometimes they're there because they're hot. Sometimes they're there so James has someone to save.
Hmm.
Sometimes they're the villain. Hmm. But that, of course, depends on your definition of... like, if you look at different Bond girl rankings, sometimes there are villains in there and sometimes there aren't.
Yeah.
They keep it separate. So I don't know what you guys... Like...
That's a good question.
Is Xenia a Bond girl or is she a villain?
You're
like,
right.
She's both, but...
Yeah. Because Bond girl almost, it does. It means two things. It means like, hey, guess who? Here's a woman we've cast in a Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's an attractive, doesn't matter whether she's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the like the Bond girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the secondary Bond girl, like usually the doomed, like one that sleeps with him.
Is that the femme fatale?
Yes, I guess. Yeah.
Well, on the 50th anniversary Blu-ray set, each disc that you flip to has one woman standing
next
to it.
Oh,
I flipped through it one day just trying to see like which ones did they pick. Some of them obviously that's the Bond girl of that film. But there were some that there are multiple women in that movie. How do they pick that one? I don't know.
That's a great touchstone. I'm going to go grab that.
Yeah.
And we'll take a look.
Let's look.
Yeah. Well, I want to, like, Sophie Marceau, right? She's mm-hmm. she's the villain.
Yeah.
The femme fatale.
Yeah.
She's all of it. She's yeah. every she's single great. Role. And then you look at, like, Xenia Onatopp. Mm-hmm. She is the only one that he sleeps with that dies also, mm-hmm. but she's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Like, if you were ranking Bond girls, would you put Miranda Frost into that
yes.
pool to choose from?
I would put anyone that the producers had a great time announcing had been cast.
And that yeah, should me, we try to define it?
And that, for me, feels like the best definition of a Bond girl. It's like,
that makes sense.
So going back to, like, let's take Cubby and Saltzman, anyone that... Because you hear all these stories on the commentary tracks of, like, he saw this girl outside this thing, and then he's like, oh, I want to put her in the movie.
You're hot.
That's what he would do.
Yeah.
Did the same thing with the Lotus.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And get
he did
it.
The same thing with Lazenby.
That's hot. Put it in.
Should we then say that a Bond girl is any featured woman in a Bond?
I think it's any
could
woman
be.
With a speaking
could
role.
Be.
That has a scene with James.
Yeah. But then, yeah, because so, like, take the woman inspector that's in that cold open, and she just says, where are you going? Is she a Bond girl?
If you look at her resume, I guarantee you she's a Bond girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to list it.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
Here's another question. Yeah. Do you consider Moneypenny to be one of
that
the
is
Bond
a
girls?
Good
I
question.
Think of her as a quintessential Bond girl, actually.
She almost supersedes Bond girl
right?
to me. Yeah.
She's closer.
Do you?
I mean, I want to, but then she just knocks everyone out of the category mm-hmm.
well,
of, like,
Judy
best
Dench
Bond
does.
Girls.
Yeah.
Is Judy, is M, is female M a Bond lady?
I don't know. I feel like the recurring roles could be taken off the table
but
because
then you're
it's
taking
like.
Taking Sylvia Trench off the table.
Well, but I mean, like, the MI6 recurring. Like, because mm-hmm. you don't say, like, M is one of. Bond's mentors and allies like Karen Bay or Columbo or something.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
She's just one of the staples.
Yeah.
But also this mentor ally situation is something that you and I have defined. I've not really seen it defined elsewhere.
I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was us.
It recurs enough.
I've seen ally because there are enough of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of its own little weird.
So we really
category.
Just have Desmond Llewellyn's hands.
They are their own category. Bond hands.
So then are we agreed that a Bond girl is any at least significantly featured woman in a, like, maybe she has to factor into the plot in
yeah,
some way?
I would say, like, a character. I mean, if she's got one of the pun names, she's a Bond girl.
For sure, yeah. Because, like, I think then you could, if you say if she matters with the plot in some way, you could lose, like, the Spectre cold open girl mm-hmm. or the Heineken woman in Skyfall.
That's
you
it
know,
then, right?
What?
It's got to be. That's got to be it. Danny's right. It has to be the name. I think that's it. I think if you pull the name,
if they're
in
not
the script,
like
yeah. the credited name
in the older movies, if they have a pun name, and I guess in the newer movies, if they're romantically involved,
yes.
Or are you saying if they have a name at all?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Otherwise, when you look in a script, like for the Heineken
right.
girl, you look in the script and it says Beer Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah,
that really what her name
I'm
is?
Pretty sure.
Beer Girl?
Like, I think, like, these, wow. none of these.
She was
but
part
there
of
are
the marketing.
Also women that have these crazy names that you actually never hear out loud.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it's the name. I think the name should be the criteria.
Well, so we'll use those general criteria for getting us through these things.
Speaking of the pun names, have you guys ever covered your favorites?
No.
I mean, some of them are truly terrible.
Yeah.
That aside. What are your favorites?
Penelope Smallbone.
My favorite. Man. My favorites tend... So you're talking just the pun names.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Do you have some?
Mm. No, I was really interested to see what
no,
you guys...
No, yeah. you know, honestly, Penelope Smallbone is it for me only because of the new information that has popped up for me that was a real woman's name.
What?
That's right. She was a what? On
she was the woman who is in the opening credits. She's the opening credits model for Your Eyes Only. that they then
that was her name.
Her real name was Penelope Smallbone.
So she's kind of a Bond girl.
Yeah, but also what that makes sense that it's a real name, because otherwise as a pun, it doesn't make any sense.
Sure.
I mean, you could imagine things.
Yeah.
But no.
I guess.
Interesting.
This is a tough question because I'm not a huge fan of the pun names, and I'm trying to remember the last one there was. Well, I liked in Casino Royale where her cover was going to be Stephanie Broadchest.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Because they were really kind of making fun of that convention.
That's funny.
Okay. So look, here's, would you like me to read them all to you?
Okay.
Penelope Smallbone, Pan Ho.
Oh, Dink. Who's Pan Ho?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Dink, we remember.
Yeah.
Is that a pun? Finger.
No. Oh, I mean, she's
I'm
dumb girl
all
name.
The names of the Bond girls to you.
Okay.
Oh. Are we to skip the ones that aren't puns?
Oh, no. I see. These are all of them. Okay,
I'm happy to skip non-puns.
No.
What would you like?
No.
Just read them.
Danny?
Yeah. Just okay. Read them.
Tracy Bond. Miss Caruso. All right.
Miss Caruso is...
Is in, I think, Golden Gun. Is that the name of the... What's the name of the dancer in the Golden
Gun? Is that her?
The belly dancer.
It might be.
Rosie Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Corinne Dufour.
Moonraker.
Tilly Masterson.
I love that name.
Helga Tilly. Brandt.
Mm-hmm.
Cara Milvoy. Milovey. Milovey. Patricia Fearing. That's the name of the Thunderball nurse. With pink glove.
There's less pun names than you may remember,
I think.
I think
we're all just remembering the
A lot
few...
of them. Well, we're going to get to some. Miss Taro, I feel like, is...
Oh, she's
close.
From Dr. No.
Correct.
Yeah.
Jill Masterson. Doesn't mm-hmm. count. Stacey Sutton. Doesn't count. Aki from You Only Live Twice. Tatiana Romanova. Sorry. I'm reading these so fast.
Well, there's got to be 100 of these, right?
Well,
yeah, how long?
Okay,
yeah.
So
go to the pun
let
names.
Me go to the puns then. Peaceful was the name of the masseuse brought up to James's room in Die Another Day that he pulls the gun on.
Oh, but doesn't she have like a Peaceful Fountains of Desire, like
yes.
a full name or something?
Peaceful Fountains of Desire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is both a bad pun and pretty racist. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Molly Warmflesh,
mm-hmm.
right? Also that, from that same from that
which
same
doesn't
genre
really make
movie.
Sense.
That's the thing is half of these pun names are just, what? What is what
well,
could Warmflesh?
We're going to get crazy in a second here. Chew Me.
Oh, she's in the pool in Golden
Gun. Yeah,
she
sure is.
Chew Me.
Let's see. Honey Rider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's straight from Fleming.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Honey Child is her name in the book.
Christmas Jones.
Oof.
Classic.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. We have Bambi and Thumper.
I like that one.
From
Diamonds, yeah.
Yeah. That may be my top two.
Solitaire, which is a pun because she's dealing with cards.
Yeah, that's a good one, though. Mm-hmm. It's just like her given name because of mm-hmm. what she does.
Mary Goodnight. And Plenty O'Toole, which might be the most...
That's the one
on
I
the
always
nose.
Think of.
That must be the...
I always think of that one.
Jenny Flex.
mm-hmm.
Holly Goodhead.
That's maybe my least favorite one.
Xenia on a top.
Holly Goodhead is just so... on the nose, but in a like a way that is like, it's not that I'm so offended by how vulgar it is, it's that I'm so offended that they did no more work to even,
it's not even creative.
It's not. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Kissy Suzuki.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Case. Very punny. Tiffany Case is
at least that one's
world.
Not so sexual.
Yeah.
I think I might go, my favorite might be Kissy Suzuki just because it's it's innocent and cute. Like, I'm just kissy, and I'm also a car.
Yeah, I definitely always imagine that there are way more than that.
Me too.
Now, would you like to hear the definition of a Bond girl?
You didn't name Xenia on a top.
According to...
Oh,
according to Wikipedia's definition,
okay.
which is sourced by everyone
okay.
Who has time on their hands. A Bond girl is a character, or the actress portraying a character... who is an attractive love interest or female sidekick of James Bond in a novel, film, or video game. Bond girls occasionally have names that are double entendres or puns and are considered ubiquitous symbols of glamour and sophistication.
That term female sidekick is interesting.
Mm-hmm. You're not important enough to be any kind of hero.
Yeah.
Sidekick.
The following paragraph. There is no set rule as to what kind of person a Bond girl will be or what role she will play.
That was clearly someone responding to the paragraph before.
She may be an ally or an enemy of Bond, pivotal to the mission, or simply eye candy. There are female characters such as Judi Dench's M and Camille Montes, a Bolivian intelligence agent who teams up with Bond in Quantum of Solace, who are not romantic interests of Bond, and hence not strictly Bond girls. However, it has been argued that M's pivotal role in the plot of Skyfall qualifies her as a Bond girl or Bond woman.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's strange.
It feels incestual.
Well, I think, you know...
It's just so interesting, because, like, all of it is made up, what everyone is saying about, like... It qualifies as this.
You're right.
That's interesting.
And it's people trying to apply a formula to something that ultimately or generally is formulaic, but there are plenty of instances of going outside of those rules. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we can contain it fully. But we can go for the general idea that it was a woman that was featured in some way. Has a name is good, yeah.
Do you think there's any other franchise that by having... actresses in it calls for fans to define it in such a way? Like, it's so interesting that it's so like, oh, singular. who's the actress in this Bond film? Like, there's a new Bond film. Like, what actress is in it? Like, it's so interesting that it's such a
it's hard to also even think of franchises that have gone on so long. I mean, although I will say the Marvel is that eight? How many movies now? 18?
That's a lot.
Yeah, but it's not quite the same thing. This is such a trope of the series that you're right. There's there's like, who's the Bond girl? And now when they do the press conferences, there's the two Bond girls usually.
Yes.
And have you guys heard the rumor that Helena Bonham Carter is...
I saw that.
Yeah.
And I would be very happy.
I want Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said that before.
Great.
Yeah, she'd be good.
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting.
Okay.
So I guess one thing that I do want to talk about is the fact that I think it's easy to look at the treatment of female characters and the way they're written and casted in these movies. There's a lot of sexism. There's a lot of misogyny. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that it's like almost kind of one of the things the franchise is known for nowadays.
Yeah.
Like people will kind of talk about it. So I think it's interesting because I consider myself a feminist. And around the time that I started to really get into the franchise, I wasn't really seeing problems. I was younger. I didn't really see the problems. I was just like, oh, cool. But I have a book, you guys, I don't know if you know it. It's the James Bond. It's like the ultimate fan handbook or something like that. I don't remember the actual title, but it's by this woman named Deborah Lipp. Mm-hmm. And she,
God, that name alone, could I be a Bond girl?
Right. It's like almost in theme.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found that book really early on when I started to really get into the franchise and start actually buying the movies and watching them, and then like, oh, I want to see what other people are saying. It was the first book that I ever got.
Oh.
And I was reading through it and I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that it was by a woman, really. But then in the intro, she talks about the fact that she is a lesbian feminist, but she grew up watching them and she loves those movies because when she was a little girl, she was seeing female pilots, female assassins, female spies. And she was like, this is great. So I think that's really interesting. Like, obviously doesn't excuse some of the blatant sexism that the franchise has. But I thought that was really interesting that it, like, it maybe in some way has inspired women in certain ways that are positive.
Yeah, I think you're right. There is that double, and I don't want to say double-edged sword. What's the term? Like,
I think it's complicated. I think it's a complicated
history. It's a two-sided coin, yeah, where you're right. I mean, and that's why I think you get Bond women, when they're cast in these roles, saying, this one's different, because they may be seeing things like, Like Barbara Bach says that in Spy Who Loved Me about her character. It's because she's...
It's accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate because she is a like spy with agency and she has power. Ultimately, she ends up being a damsel in distress again.
Of course.
But yeah, both things are there. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
You like came in Dalton's era, right? Like that was your first thing?
Well...
First exposure, kind of?
No, I mean, I think I saw Connery and Moore when I was very young. And then being a kid in the 90s, like, I watched all of Brosnan's.
The great Pierce Brosnan.
And yeah.
I understand.
And then also GoldenEye was just so prevalent.
Yeah.
Especially because there was a game for a kid, like, not for kids, but we had it. So GoldenEye was very prevalent.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, but no, I didn't see Dalton until I was older, which might be.
Oh, okay. No, you're right. You told me that, though, that he was, like, the first one you really felt some feelings
for.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Because, like, when I was younger, yeah, they were just older men.
Right.
And I was like, nah. So, yeah, Dalton. Yeah, and so when I first saw his films, I was like, oh, these are amazing. And then, like, over the years, I've come to love them less.
Yeah.
But I still... really could watch them
because
he's
soft,
very handsome.
Yeah,
I could you watch the worst, what is a franchise that you are lukewarm on just in general, like a film franchise?
Marvel.
Okay, so Marvel
for me.
And then Danny, same question.
I don't know if I'm lukewarm on anything. I think I either really like it or just won't watch it.
What is one you won't watch?
My fiance really wants me to watch all the Fast and Furious movies.
Okay. Ooh, that's a great example.
I'm not into it.
Yeah, I'm not into it either.
And I get that. But like, so my question to you guys is, would you rather watch the worst, your least favorite James Bond movie?
Yes.
Or the best.
Don't
best
allow me. Yes.
What?
I've always said the worst James Bond movie is better. It's like the worst day fishing still better than the best day working. You know? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I always say that anytime I pick on Tomorrow Never Dies, I'm still like, this is a Bond movie and I will watch it.
Yeah.
I will say yes, because one of the worst Bond movies is, I don't want to say it's my favorite, but I watch it more than any of the other ones. And that is A View to a Kill.
Yes.
I love that one.
Among, so do I. Like-minded.
We may be the only three in the world that feel this way. Like, what power is in this room right now for that film?
We just love it.
Like, I'd like to think that somehow there's like a GPS that goes off that, like...
It finds people.
Yeah, like a love of View to a Kill. Like a Google alert somehow goes off in the universe.
Do you like the Eiffel Tower? Do you like Grace Jones? Do you like blimps?
Do you want to see San Francisco before housing prices were crazy? I got a movie for you.
I say yes to all of those things.
Are you into seismic activity and urns full of ashes that don't have ashes in them when they're beat over someone's head?
I get why people rag on that movie, and I get why people don't like it. But like anything that they say does not affect
I agree
me wanting to watch it.
I agree.
So. I see. Yeah.
I recently was approached to do an upcoming podcast where you go talk about your favorite movie, and they approached me saying, like, you'll do a Bond movie. That's kind of like you get relegated to those things nowadays. And I'm like, of course it's Casino Royale, but I think I want to talk about View to a Kill more.
Right. Yeah.
Might be more fun.
Yeah.
But it's also like, what? It's hard because, you know, View to a Kill has been in existence for 33 years at this point, but like...
And thank God.
I think if View to a Kill and Casino Royale came out at the same time, I would by now have seen View to a Kill more.
It's eminently watchable.
Got spectacle.
Yeah.
And that's another role, speaking of the Bond women, that's one that's another one of those troubled ones, because she's a geologist, and she actually gets a lot done in that movie. She goes to City Hall and like is proactive, and she's holding out against Zorin, and yet still becomes not only a damsel in distress, but a James.
Screaming. And that is an interesting point, because like at what point does their capability and proactiveness become just overshadowed by being saved?
Right.
I think we talked about this when we talked about Die Another Day, Halle Berry. I was like, oh, she's awesome. She's very capable. But she does get saved twice.
Hmm.
But I don't even think about that, because she's always doing things.
Yeah, she's not screaming for him that much and that's fighting with him until the end.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then is it also, how much is it a problem that on the face of it, like, oh, how do I phrase this? That there is a Bond woman or girl who does need saving. And I understand that that's a tired trope these days. And mm-hmm. it's a tired trope in Bond. But there are some people that would say, even some women, and I'm more playing devil's advocate because I don't really agree with this, but that, like, that's okay too. Women can be saved. Mm-hmm. But is it because it's overused and almost exploited is mm-hmm. really what it is, that that's the problem, right?
I think it might be that.
Yeah.
I think that it's just, it's in so many of our movies that people get very upset about it, even though it can be fine. I think there are instances in which it could work. You guys saw the It movie, the new It movie.
Yeah.
So when, spoilers for the It movie, people who haven't watched it, which you should, Beverly, the girl character, gets kidnapped by the clown and, like, taken down to the sewers, and all the boys have to come save her. And that didn't even occur to me. That, like, oh, it's another instance of a girl being saved. Didn't occur to me at all. And then I saw people blowing up about it. And they were like, loved this movie, but hated this bonehead choice where the boys had to save the girl. I didn't get that because literally 20 seconds before the clown grabs her, she's just murdered her attacker and abuser. She's just fought back and overcome something extremely scary to her. So I think that it can be done as long as you show how capable that character is. But how often does that happen?
Right. That brings up another interesting thing in, like, Quantum of Solace, when Camille, she's badass. She's a spy herself or secret service of some kind. And in the end, she's left cowering and almost whimpering. They tie it to a backstory. So it's not that she's a weak female. Mm-hmm. It's that she was nearly burned in a fire. And there she is trapped in a fire. But they do manage to get it in. And is that them relying on the same old trope, but justifying it, updating it in a way?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I have something to add.
Yes.
About that, I realized something today. So I made just kind of like a top five Bond girls list. Like, oh, these are my top five. And then I, like, really thought about it and I changed it around a little bit. Then I started really thinking about the characters that I liked. And I realized something about Natalia's character because she's one of my favorites. I feel like so many Bond girls, you hear their backstory when they are telling it to James Bond. It's like they almost don't even exist until he meets them. And there's so many of them that you don't even see until he meets them or sees them. And Natalia has a lot of screen time before they even meet.
That's right.
She has a lot, like, her own little story and her own little plot until they actually meet. Yeah. We already know all about her by the time they meet. And I thought that was really interesting.
I think she's the least distressed of anyone in the movie.
And it's not, they don't wear it on its sleeve. It's just, you're right. Are there any other Bond girls that have that kind of arc to them?
I can't think of one.
Well, you have, in For Your Eyes Only, you meet, meet her first. Melina first. She comes upon her father's boat, right?
Yeah, you at least get her origin.
Yes.
Or her motivation.
Mm. Yeah, and then I think,
wow, that really is a hell of an observation. I had never thought
about
that.
When I realized that, it kind of blew my mind. Because there really is, with their characters, there really is a lot of... the old writing thing of, like, show, don't tell? Mm-hmm. Like, they really just tell it.
Yeah, it's like, almost like to get it out of the way.
Then she tells Bond about her terrible past, and then now they're connected. They have a connection.
Right. Wait, now it makes me want to try to think if there are any more like that.
No. No, I think the closest is For Your Eyes Only.
That might.
Like, think, Honey Rider, you meet her when Bond meets her. Mm-hmm. So we can just go through it real quick here. Although Tatiana, you see first.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not just seeing them first, it's that they have...
Yeah, you get her sort of whole...
A story of some kind. That
thing of what's happening.
And I guess that's true for Anya, too. Like, we kind of see them paralleled, like, he's being called into his mission, she's being called. But it's just, but still, they're like, Yeah, there's a
Goldeneye
lot.
Could almost be Natalia's movie with Bond as a sort of
side character,
sort of like how the Spy Who Loved Me novel is.
Right.
That's interesting. All right. So then Domino, she's got a past, but again, you hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kissy Suzuki, very detailed backstory.
Yeah, that is one of the least.
Could not even get that out.
Develop that. That is crazy because they do so much with Aki. Not so much, but they do enough for a Bond movie. And then she dies, and then it's just like they just put Kissy Suzuki in that place. Yeah. And then they finish the movie like, oh, we've been always been lovers.
I saw an article that was ranking Bond girls that I think they said that that was their attempt at personality was casting an Asian or something like that. It was super scathing. There was a lot of shade there.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I can't write a personality for this character. Let's just make it Asian.
Yeah. Make There's it diverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Tracy's got a pretty Roald decent Dahl. Arc.
Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy's got a pretty decent arc, but it's not, like you say, it's not like...
It's good. She's a fleshed out character.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I
but
love her,
still,
like,
we don't really
like...
see much of it.
Right. You get
her
you get a little bit.
Her dad gives the backstory,
That's
right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany Case.
Tiffany, you don't
no.
see until Mr.
She just
nothing in that
she
movie.
She just wants
has
money.
Peter Frank rolls up. She has a horrible backstory in the book.
Mm. Yes, yeah. horrible. Yeah. Of probably the worst of any.
Wow.
Would agree.
Gang raped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I thought we were just going to direct people towards the novel.
Well,
I
mean, just people will want to know. Yeah. They're going to want to know.
It's worth mentioning. It's
guys, download the novels on Audible. Use the promo code Bond.
Well done.
I don't know. That's an active promo code.
Way to monetize the tragedy of a fictional kid. Then Solitaire's decent, but it's not really.
Solitaire is like.
She's in it before. But,
yes.
Before
yeah.
she meets Bond. But
Solitaire's backstory, it trickles out.
Yeah.
Like that her mother was also had the gift and lost it. And then apparently Kananga blew her up like a balloon.
Right.
I think that's how people die in that movie. And that's really all you hear backstory-wise from her.
Mary Goodnight is one of the least developed Bond characters.
Holly Goodnight?
No.
Mary Goodnight.
She's...
Even Maude Adams' character in that movie is further developed than Mary Goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And her arm is further twisted.
Holly Goodhead. Now, Holly Goodhead is one of those ones where they're like, let's give this character agency solely to stand in for no character or no development. Let's just make her a doctor. But she, it's just so shallow, you know?
There's also, well, you know, Maude Adams and Octopussy. Although you get kind of...
Ooh, Cara Mulvey in Living Daylights. She has that whole thing where she's being blackmailed.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but she is so... I think in all the ways that Natalia is sort of seemingly self-sufficient. I mean, think about it. Natalia goes in, figures out that she can go into this computer store, get access to a modem, contact Boris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
know,
she's
She might
good.
Not know exactly what's going on, but she's...
jumps in the air and punches Boris, which I will never forget.
Yeah.
That's a great move.
Yeah.
She just jumps. It's really impressive. So.
She's also a great actress, too. Like, that role all around.
It's amazing what a great actress can do in the role of a Bond girl.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm interested in
yes,
your list.
Yes, it is. But then Halle Berry rolls in.
I know.
It's like, what happened?
They
you're
were
a
like,
great actress.
Good point.
Maybe then what happened?
Maybe she's not. Maybe to prove you're a great actress, you really have to play a hollow role like most Bond girls.
I did want
to
write some sort of letter writing campaign to get her Oscar taken away for her performance in Die Another Day.
Oh.
I think those. I think Oscars should be like living, breathing awards where they can be taken away.
You have to maintain.
You have to maintain a level of quality.
You have to stay good.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens if you retire?
Then we all show up to Daniel Day-Lewis's house and we put all the Oscars in the truck.
You can retire, but it has to be strategically. Like, in fact, you may go like, I think my career's slipping. I better get out now while I can and keep my Oscar,
and
or it'll be taken
James
away.
James Coburn, right? And you show up late in life. We know you're on your way out and you deliver an Oscar-worthy performance.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And we're all like, wow, what's going on with your hands? They look arthritic.
In like Flint. We got to do it.
I know. Matt and Bonding Podcast. Support for today's James Bonding comes from Squarespace.
You know what they say about Squarespace, Matt? They say think it, dream it, make it with Squarespace.
Well, what I say about Squarespace is that with beautiful templates created by world-class designers, Squarespace, what I just said about it, makes it easy to turn your idea into a new and unique website.
Yeah, not all of us could draw stunt spectaculars with such ease, Matt. We need help, and you can customize everything with Squarespace, from the look and the feel to the settings and the products, all optimized for mobile, right out of the box with a built-in search engine optimization.
You can showcase your work, blog, or publish content, announce a special project, even sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks.
I know what you're wondering. How am I going to get some data? Well, you can with the Squarespace Analytics. They'll help you grow in real time.
There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever.
But if you do have a question, Squarespace's award-winning 24/7 customer support is there to help.
Keep dreaming, but make it a reality with a website from Squarespace.
Oh, I know what you're all thinking. How do I drop everything right now and sign up for Squarespace? Well, there's a very easy way to do it.
First, you drop everything.
Yeah, drop everything. Uh-huh. And then you pick up something that allows you to get on your computer and access the internet.
Like your computer.
Yeah. And then you can go to squarespace.com/bond and you can find yourself there a free trial.
And when you're ready to launch, much like the Moonraker shuttle, use the offer code BOND to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Oh, but unlike the Moonraker shuttle, it's not going to get stolen.
Right.
That's squarespace.com/bond. Offer code BOND.
Just like the Squarespace goes. Thank you. This month, the month of June is always fun, and it's extra special for us this year because we're celebrating Earwolf Pride all month long. We hope you'll join us by getting Queerwolf and checking out some of our shows that you may not know about. You can listen to intimate conversations and interviews on shows like Homophilia, Queery with comedian Cameron Esposito, and Getting Curious with one and only Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Or you can laugh your face off while listening to live stand-up on Put Your Hands Together and getting the perfect combination of political and pop culture hot takes on Throwing Shade. And in honor of Pride Month, select Earwolf shows will be releasing some of their favorite episodes featuring the most talented, hilarious LGBTQ+ guests for free. That's right. You can listen to special archived episodes of shows like Comedy Bang Bang and How Did This Get Made all month long. Celebrate Pride Month with Earwolf and listen to your favorite LGBTQ+ shows now. Subscribe to Queery, Homophilia, Throwing Shade, Put Your Hands Together, or Getting Curious on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Matt and Bonding Podcast.
You're studying your list.
Your lists. But I can go first.
Here are lists of Bond girls?
Yeah. But, and here's the thing, it's weird to rank them because, like, what are you ranking them by?
Yeah, what
because
is your criteria?
I have a completely different list of the ones I think are
you're
the prettiest versus the ones I really like.
Right. But you're also, Danny, you're talking to two grown men who have ranked the James Bond chests. Like,
that's
we've ranked
true.
The chests of
every you're saying fair is fair.
Fair is fair. I'm not saying let's rank their chests.
Yes. Yes.
No. I'm saying that we have ranked Bond's physical attributes.
Okay.
I mean, like, I cannot think of a part of the franchise we haven't dug into, really, except for this Bond girl stuff.
Well, I think it would be interesting to kind of note the top five most effective or powerful, and then the least effective.
Yeah.
But also,
because it's okay to point out, like, she was obviously cast because she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's fine to like, see that dynamic of, like, who was cast because they were a great actress and good at action and who was just amazing looking.
Right.
Let's talk about those.
Which is, you know, a gift.
Let's talk about the Uggos, though, right, guys? A couple of Uggos in there.
I can't name one.
No.
One Uggo? I can find the ugliest Bond girl. Hang on.
Oh, no.
First, that's so subjective, though.
Why are you picking up your phone? What database are you going to?
Ugly.net?
No. Okay. I'm sure it exists.
Who's the least handsome of the Bonds?
For me?
I don't know if we've ever gone purely aesthetic handsomeness. We've ranked their chests, obviously.
I don't find Lazenby attractive, to be honest. I find him good looking, like he's rugged, but I don't find... Like, I actually do find Roger Moore good looking, and I find Brosnan good looking. Mm-hmm. He doesn't work for me in the way I think Bond should. And in fact, Lazenby actually works better for Bond for me, even though I don't find him pleasing to
I
my
like
eyes.
Lazenby's body.
Yes, he's a great body.
He's very in shape. I think I'm not a huge Lazenby fan, but I think he's good at action. All of his action scenes I thought were good. So his body's great. About his face.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you,
we're
Matt?
We're taking George Lazenby's body. Whose face are we putting on it?
Oh, that's tough.
Think about, I'm just saying, just throw Brosnan's face.
I feel like
throw
he's
Brosnan's
more
face.
Tan than most of them.
Yeah. They got to match the
match.
Tones. Got
okay. We tan Pierce Brosnan's head.
I think Pierce Brosnan is the most handsome of the Bond.
I think he's the most objectively handsome, but he's too handsome for me.
Yeah.
I'm more of a... I find Dalton Connery and Craig are more in my wheelhouse, though I do find Roger Moore... He's just so suave.
Dashing. But he's also sweet.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a sweetness about him.
Yes,
it's also,
true.
Like, it's hard for Roger Moore, because, like, we see his transition to full dad bod.
It's true.
Like, we're there. We're there with it.
Fairly there in the beginning after he's, you know, he's doing his knees bend workout. But.
Yeah. That book's out, right? The
I think
Roger Moore's Live and Let Die Diaries back in publication. Thanks to Phil.
Yeah. Wait, so I want to hear your list, and then Matt and I can try to figure out how we can do one.
Well, okay,
wait,
so
did you want to hear our list first? That's what you said, right?
Oh.
Either way.
Oh, whatever you want to do, Danny.
Okay, I'll go first.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to go looks first because I think there's less to say. And then I'll break down my favorites in terms of character.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so we'll do, let's do looks and then we'll, you know,
you
we understand, we'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're going
to
do.
We didn't go into this episode intending to rank, but we have been called to the challenge. And we all understand that they do cast these, like you said, these women for reasons such as this. So they're all beautiful. That's understood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're all a James Blunt song.
Yeah.
That's true. So looks, solely on looks. My number one is Stacey Sutton.
Really?
Whoa.
Maybe it's just a wishful, like, maybe that's what I would like choose to look like. But also, like, her looks were great for the time period. Like the 80s, her hair is just so perfectly feathered. And she's got these blue eyes. And the makeup.
Wow.
I really don't like Stacey Sutton. I think she's a terrible character,
I
love to look at her face.
Did you say she's number five or number one?
She's my number one.
Wow.
I just think she's gorgeous.
My dad really had it for her because I remember she's when that movie came out, he'd always be like, oh, Stacey Sutton. Because she was also, I think, famous for having done a centerfold in Playboy.
She was on a show.
She was on a TV show.
She was on Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels.
Later Charlie's Angels.
She
was in Beastmaster, right? And Sheena?
She was in Sheena. She was in Beastmaster. She was in The Tourist Trap. The horror movie, not the comedy.
Number one, Stacey Sutton.
She's beautiful. My number two is Electra King.
Mm.
So
and it really hit me this last time I watched it to
me
come
too.
On the podcast last time. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, she jumped up in my sister. I know. The bangs, which is something I've never been quite into. And
it works on her.
Yeah.
Again, the time period. Some of them really work in their time period.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think that some of them are not as timeless in their looks. I think Ursula Andress is actually pretty classic. Like, she's timeless.
Yeah.
Agree.
Any time period. But yeah, Electra King. Gorgeous. I think Vesper Lynd. Because I think Eva Green is so rare in the way that she looks. She's very pale, freckly, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's got good eyes. I like that just because she's very different.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting that she comes across to you as different. I just see her as my number one.
Just beautiful.
she's
pure,
to me,
she is.
She's gorgeous.
Have you seen Penny Dreadful?
Yeah, I started to watch it, and then for some reason we didn't see through it.
Did that, and then I started it back up. And I'm really glad she is amazing in it. So she's very good. And then I think Domino.
Yeah. We're big
so
Domino
pretty.
Fans over here.
Yeah.
Such a good face. Sweet. I like her. Looks, and then I have to put Honey Rider because she's beautiful. Then I have honorable mention of Christmas Jones because she looks very good.
Yeah, she's almost like the cartoon video game version of beauty in that sense, especially because they're kind of echoing a Tomb Raider thing with her.
Her nose structure is impossible.
Well, is it because it's impossible?
It feels impossible.
I think that may be. It's only possible through certain.
Listen, I don't know. Could be genetics.
I go in anytime I watch the movie, I go in being like, ugh, Christmas Jones. But then I'm just like, wow.
Oh yeah, she's undeniably so gorgeous. She's the type of gorgeous that I feel like I don't know, like I wouldn't know what to do with that. You know, like I don't know how to process it. It's almost too classically beautiful. I myself like a little asymmetry, and because I think I feel like, oh well, that's more what not only real life but my world and who I'm asymmetrical and I'm, you know, flawed.
We don't come from Denise Richards' world, guys. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
I won't rank mine, but I'd say like my top three just for beauty. Well, number one for sure, I can rank that is Ava Green. She has always, since Casino Royale, been my favorite Bond girl. She's part of why I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Just Vesper as a character is so interesting. Solitaire is another one that really does it for me.
I think she got better looking with age.
Yes. Well,
not that she doesn't look great.
She's always aged incredibly well.
But it was interesting to see her so young. Yeah.
Tatiana from Rush with Love. I find her just beautiful. I always like Domino, but she also fades in my memory. I can never quite... She looks different to me every time I see her. She has one of those faces that I can't quite lock on to. Yeah, like it doesn't stick in my memory. But then, you know who's really been creeping up in my esteem lately is Olga Kurylenko from Quantum of Solace. I watched The Death of Stalin on the airplane the other day, and she's in that.
Oh.
And she's just... it's been 10 years since she played that role.
Wow.
And you wouldn't know it, and not that she's like really looks beautiful and
she's very pretty.
Yeah.
Top three, just
and Maude Adams. Sorry, I forgot Maude Adams.
Going just based on aesthetics, on a personal level, I would have to say Barbara Bach is in there for me.
This is going to sound crazy, but she's automatically disqualified for me because she looks just like my nephew.
In fact, this nephew away from me.
In fact, say this, I'm going to bring up a picture of my nephew and you tell me what you think.
That's really interesting because I also think she's very pretty. I actually watched that movie last night.
Uh-huh.
And my fiance was like, I said, oh, she's so pretty. And he was like, is she though?
Yeah.
Which I was like, I don't see how you're questioning it. Like,
I think if she's good enough for Ringo, she's good enough for us, guys.
But she fits in her movie too in the time period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's great for the 70s.
Sure.
Aesthetic.
Sure. Yeah. And then I would have to say it probably would be... Oh, it's hard because I know my number one, so I'm just like trying to slide someone into the middle here. Which is difficult.
Who's not number one or
who's
two?
Who's not number one?
Meanwhile, I'm looking for a picture.
Is it Jaws?
Of my nephew.
It's Jaws.
Yeah, I knew it.
You know, Jaws' girlfriend. I was way into. Way into her.
That's interesting.
And if I could add her, I would. And then,
never mind this thing about my nephew.
Real number two, I would say.
All the pictures are of him currently.
I almost don't want to see it because just want to imagine.
Just want to imagine tiny Barbara Bach running around.
Okay, this is kind of it. It's more when he was younger.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
The eyes.
Yeah, the eyes. Yeah.
Wow. And the like skin tone too.
Yes.
Pets.
And the bangs.
Very interesting.
Wow. God, this is hard. Yeah, I guess Eva Green would be number two. And number one for me is Lana Wood, a.k.a. Plenty O'Toole.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Oh, you know, I met her.
I love Plenty O'Toole. I know you've met her.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous.
Those are good choices. Yeah. We all have good choices.
I didn't know there was
good job, us.
Okay, so then your next list is...
This is just my favorite character-wise. And I really, as I went to write them down, I sat down to write them down, I really thought all five were going to be badass, who have punched someone or killed someone in their movies, who are like the smartest, and it actually did not turn out to be that way when I got down to it.
Oh, honorable mention for Kim Basinger.
Oh, wow.
That's a good. Do you guys count that? Do you guys?
No, no. We always call it honorable mention.
Yeah. Okay. Just a little. Okay. With an asterisk, I guess. Who is it? Who's the baseball player that has to have an asterisk by his name because he did something wrong?
You're thinking of. Remarkably, you're thinking of Roger Maris hitting 62 home runs.
Whatever.
Because the season was longer than Babe Ruth's 61 home run season.
I don't know.
That's what you're somehow thinking
of. I guess. I know crazy. Just enough to bring
wow.
it up. Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right.
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
There you go.
So Natalia is the top. And that I came to that conclusion after realizing that about her story, how there is so much there.
So this is character.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
Favorite as in like... When I watched this movie when I was younger, I wanted to be them. I think they're pretty. I think they're awesome. I like their characters. So Natalia is really high up for me. Love Vesper. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have to say anything else. She's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Kara, actually, or Kara. Is it Kara or Kara?
I think it's Kara.
Yeah. That one crept up on me. But I think... I like that she's more innocent than a lot of Bond girls, and she's yeah. really cute.
Yeah, she's interesting because she kind of spends the whole movie as a damsel in distress, but it doesn't feel super cheap. It feels kind of real. That's what mm-hmm. I was trying to get at. Like, there are people that fall into that yeah. category, men and women, and that is one that feels like
yeah.
it's believable.
She's not a spy or an agent or right. a pilot. She's just...
She's a cellist.
She's just this girl. And so I think that really struck me especially when I saw that movie the first time, was desperately falling in love with Timothy Dalton. And then this cute Bond girl came along that yeah. was like closer to me physically and personality wise
you, yeah.
than all these like sultry, like yeah. fantasy goddesses. So I love Kara. She's cute. And then the last one was hard because I want to say Michelle Yao. Because mm-hmm. she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's a badass.
Wei Lin. We all know yeah. everyone. Wei Lin. She helps make sure that Carver doesn't get broadcast That's rights right. in China for 100 years.
But that one is a split between her, and I kind of think that Pam Bouvier doesn't get enough credit.
I'm with you on that.
I understand yeah. why she's not at any lists of most memorable or hottest. Like, I get it why she's kind of just like middle ground, but she's a badass.
She fucking drives a semi truck and yeah. a plane.
She's good with a shotgun.
Can you drive a plane?
Has a great
she's
haircut.
A pilot.
Yeah.
Yes, she does.
Oh, I love her.
And she's drinking beer. Like, when he meets her for the first time, she's just drinking beer with a shotgun on her lap under the table. She's cool.
Yeah. If she has any faults, it's only in that her writing is a little simple. Mm-hmm. But what she's doing in that movie. Mm-hmm.
She yells at him. She straight up yells at James Bond yeah. to his face,
yeah.
which I don't think you see as much.
Yeah.
You just get Christmas Jones whining at him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like her a lot.
So you're a British spy. Do you have a name?
That is the line I was thinking of. So, but yeah, so that's my list just in terms of favorite characters. And I realize it's not the most badass ones. It's kind of... They all have like a really good like romantic connection with him, whereas some of them, they're there and it's like, well, now you guys are hooking up because you're both there and you're hot,
right.
but that's literally the only reason.
Right.
So I realized
I think that's what you do. I don't know for a fact. I don't know because I'm not super hot, you know, of the level of these Bond peoples.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm certain that when you get two attractive. Spy
it's gonna happen.
Dangerous situations together. Mm-hmm. They're going to the bone zone.
It's true. So it's not that it's unrealistic. It's just that I don't care about their connection.
In yeah, I'm
ways,
with you. I think
the most
you...
realistic part of Bond movies.
But that's the
that women want to sleep with him.
No, that they're both like, well, we should,
like,
we're so attractive.
Okay,
we would be doing the world a disservice if we didn't fuck and at least try to make a baby.
That's the trick, though. You know that's going to happen. So if they can build at least. Some structure around that to make it A, interesting, and B, justified, that's when it works the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another reason why I love Quantum of Solace
right.
is that I don't feel like they don't hook up so that the writers can go like, we fooled you, we twisted you. They don't make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just simply doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is a real anomaly for mm-hmm. those movies.
Yeah. But it's also proper for the story because it's like...
Yeah, exactly. It works for the story. Yeah.
I wasn't... And I love Skyfall. I really do. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't so sure that their hookup was that necessary.
Moneypenny or the Severin?
Severin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Wait, do you think they
You get
up?
A nice shower.
Moneypenny?
Shower scene.
Yeah.
But that seemed like... unnecessary to this
time. Yeah. Well, to answer your question really quickly, no, I don't necessarily, but I know that it seems like the film is trying to leave it slightly ambiguous. But for Severin, I'm with you. In fact, there's been some stuff I've seen written about that it's really problematic that he just shows up in her shower. And
can I just say,
yeah,
when I go to the movies with my fiance, which is all the time, and he runs to the bathroom and I'm just hanging out, he'll come up to me and put his hand on me from behind, and I freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I can't explain to him how not cool that is. And he's like, why is it such a big deal? Because it's scary. I'm in public and someone's touching me. So yes, it is. That's something I noticed.
I know you're 12 days away from getting married, but are you sure you want to walk down the aisle with a guy who can't understand not to touch you from behind in the dark in a public place?
He doesn't do it now.
Okay,
does he do it to mess with you, or he does it to provide, I'm here?
It's that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really nice, but do it from come into my eye line and then put your hand on my shoulder. That's great.
I mean, the hardest thing for a human to do is to spot another human being in a movie theater. As we all know. Whenever we're trying to go back to our seats, it's impossible.
That's true.
So I've never walked up to someone that I'm about to greet from behind and touch
me either, because I'm very sensitive to that. I'm a very excitable boy. I get startled very easily. Any little noise and I'm
Yeah. So, yeah, yes, that shower scene is weird. She's showering. It's great. It's fine. She looks great. And then he just goes in there.
Yeah.
And that is weird.
Yeah.
Was she like, oh, yeah, get in here.
Right.
I think she was probably terrified at first because she has a...
But there's guys on that boat.
Uh-huh.
There are men working on that boat, right? Driving the boat, crewing the...
He must have sneaked on.
So, but how does she know it's Bond?
Oh, right,
one
right.
Of those
right.
random guys. That's my question.
Oh, she doesn't. It's. I think it's not a great way to make an entrance.
But is it also? Do you think it's a short sight of the filmmakers that they're just like, let's shortcut to the sex scene, or is it a comment that she's a sex worker and she has to endure this kind of stuff from not only Silva but these men and has to willingly give herself? Am I reading too much into this?
Mm-hmm. You are reading too much into it.
Yeah.
I don't think they cared that much.
Yeah, I think they were like, what's going to look really sexy right now?
Yeah, steamy.
What kind of product placement can we
do? You know what he should have done? They should have had Daniel Craig walk up to the steamy glass and then put a little heart in the steam.
Oh, I think just balls and a dick.
Yeah. I mean, that gets the point across.
And then he walks
with a question mark
and drops the soap like
a
microphone.
She has to answer Y or N. And
that's what
consent.
He should have done.
Yeah.
And everyone would have gone, oh, man, Daniel Craig's Bond is so funny.
All right, let's run down our favorite character Bond girls, Matt.
I think it's always going to be Tracy for me.
For me, it's Vesper again, because I find her story very tragic and maybe of the deepest character of any of them for me. Even Tracy and Natalia, I find her to have the most conflict, internal conflict, structure.
There
it's
is a lot.
Very hard to put a finger on what it is. I don't ever fully sympathize with Vesper's character.
That's what I like. Mm. You may not, because she's flawed. She's betrayed Bond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I love about her. She's not just a girl who's like gives herself willingly and then loses her character the minute she gives over to Bond. That's part of one of the small problems with Pam Bouvier is she's so badass and calling the shots, and then the minute they sleep together on that boat, she's just kind of like under
whatever.
His spell. Yeah,
yeah, that's the power
of
a handsome man, apparently.
I know, Dalton, that cleft chin and hairy chest. So yours is Tracy.
Yeah, I think so.
Mine's Vesper, but then the other, I like Camille.
Camille's great.
I like Tracy too a lot.
I think Natalia's a great answer.
Great. Natalia's great. I mean, but we seem to like ones that have a real
Yeah.
Romance, yeah. Rather than just,
you know,
sleeping.
Pussy Galore.
I was going to say Pussy Galore
too.
There's the problematic thing where she just gives in to him again.
Force kissing, as we've discussed,
yeah,
on this podcast.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's the roll in the hay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Literal hay.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, she has a flying circus.
Mm-hmm.
Why are all the powerful ladies in this movie seem to have a circus?
I know. Yeah. Octopussy.
Oh, two of them. Okay. yeah. So, I mean, and I like Wei Lin, but it's also like, I find Wei Lin's character to be such a one-dimensional character in the sense of, I find Bond's character to be one-dimensional.
Yeah, they're kind of really counterparts in that movie.
Dimension.
But that's that movie's fault, because they're giving her all the power they can in that movie, which
she's a good actress.
Yeah.
And she's great at action. But yeah, the character, not so much.
And I don't think their chemistry is great in that movie. I'm not feeling it between those two.
I get that.
I feel it between, what's her name?
Terry Hatcher.
Yeah.
Paris.
All right, let's talk
Carver.
Worst, or at least most ill-conceived Bond girls, or least effective in terms of...
Well, then are we going by, like, least screen time?
No. I mean, like...
Like, worst portrayals of women?
Then, yeah.
Yeah, like...
And... Oh, well, that's an entirely different thing, too.
It's
that's
true.
An entirely
it's
different
very
question
complex.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good one. I think that's a good one.
But I think the worst, for me, like, if I think back to the franchise as a whole... I honestly and begrudgingly, sadly, have to throw like a lot of the Pierce Brosnan era women into that.
Specifically,
Denise Crosby? I mean, not Denise Crosby. Sorry, I'm thinking of doing Star Trek Next Conversation. Denise Richards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not Tasha Yar.
I think most people would make the argument that Christmas Jones is one of the worst Bond girls there is.
So.
And that's remarkable coming this late in the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd think they would have learned a thing.
And again, I will say this 1,000 times over. It's not her fault. That dialogue is
no,
impossible.
No, but she's also not helping.
No, but that dialogue's impossible.
She could have been helped by better dialogue.
You could have put Judi Dench in that role.
She could have been helped by better acting, though, too.
That's true.
But I think that let's think of an example. There are probably some Bond girls in there with horrible dialogue that actually elevated that dialogue.
Well, you know, I think Tiffany Case's dialogue is crazy, but she does a great job with it.
She does to a certain extent.
You know what I mean? You just killed James Bond!
Oh,
but, like, she's,
God.
Playing it in this, like...
She's fun.
Like, it's a fun...
She's
there's
fun.
A fun camp
she's
that she brings to it.
She's charismatic enough to where you like the character.
I also find her very physically fetching.
Yeah. I like her little, like... She's like got bikini bottoms and then the top that like wraps around.
Sure.
It looks great.
Yes. How do we feel about Madeline Swann from Spectre? She's kind of almost a...
I think it's a like, TBD.
She's like Vesper Light in a way.
I only watched it once.
Mm.
Just because if I had the time, I was going to watch something else.
Yeah.
Like I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was great.
Yeah.
So...
She to me is someone whose character in a modern sense could have been written better, but I think Lea Seydoux does a really good job with it. I liked her a lot.
I'll have to watch it again.
Mary Goodnight.
What?
Okay, yeah.
She's up there.
She might be.
As a bad.
She does nothing.
Yeah. She does nothing but actively klutz around and hinder the thing.
She does nothing but sit on the plot device.
Yeah. Yeah.
She sits on the plot. Literally sits
on the plot.
I would
take that
device.
As one of the worst.
Rosie Carver's rough, too.
Rosie Carver? Oh, right. Rosie Carver
from Live and Let Die.
I was thinking if your name's Carver, you have to be related to Jonathan Pryce's character, Elliot Carver.
Why so many Carvers.
A lot of Carvers happening in there. Domino's good. Miranda Frost is good-ish.
Domino's an interesting... proto version of the effective Bond girl that, you know, because she kills Largo at the end, but she's otherwise just kind of passive. But then she's kind of has to take the Geiger counter on the ship and like
she
gets enlisted into it and then pays the price. Yeah, she's an interesting sort of early Bond girl that gets involved.
I think the fact that she kills him and also with a harpoon gun.
Yeah.
Is it does a lot.
It does.
For what you remember about the character.
That's right. Yeah.
She holds a sea turtle.
What?
She holds a sea turtle.
I know. She's
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. We should also name our favorite Bond like female henchman type, like Anna Topp and Fiona Volpe.
That's a really good idea.
Helga Brandt.
Mayday.
Henchman.
Hench.
Is Rosa Klebb a henchman or a villain?
Well, we went through this. We went through it that we arrived that she was a villain because she's ultimately concocting the plan, and Red Grant is really just a thug.
Okay.
And it's hard. It's interesting about that situation too, is that it's the opposite trope. We're like, you've dispatched the villain of the movie,
yeah,
and then the henchman comes back. But in reality, you've dispatched the henchman, and then the villain is still
there. Yes, yeah.
And that was sort of the outlier of the
Rosa Klebb.
I agree.
Who is your favorite female, like, kind of baddie?
Bad guy.
And I wouldn't put Elektra in there because she's just great. She's
really?
A villain. Well, she's already
best.
A villain. Like, she's the villain.
But she's also best. Like villain slash romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, like a Mayday and Anna Topp.
Miranda Frost, maybe.
Miranda Frost is one.
Great.
What were the other ones we just named him? Fiona
Miranda
Volpe.
Frost. Let's just go over Miranda Frost's character for half a second. Because she genuinely is a person who all she cared about was winning a gold medal.
That's
in Sydney.
True.
That's all she can.
Cheater.
She's a perfect example, though, of a badly written part that is elevated by the actress. Like,
that's true.
Like, if Miranda Frost was playing Christmas Jones, it would... That's what I'm saying. Like, Denise Richards doesn't do that part any favors. Where Rosamund Pike does that part a lot of favors. Don't you think?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't. I think a lot of the goofy dialogue about Miranda is delivered by other characters. You know what I mean?
I know, but she's just a better...
I like her.
Yes, no too. Question.
It might just be because of Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
But maybe. When I think of that character, I think, oh, I love that character.
Yeah,
she's
me too.
She's cool.
I know, she's the
best. She's gorgeous.
Maybe the best thing
she's
about that
cool.
movie.
She can fence.
Yeah, I don't understand her plane crashing fencing outfit.
Well, speaking of that,
like
I was
saloons and a sports.
I was
weird.
Just in Washington D.C. and I went to the National Spy Museum, and that costume is there, and they have the Art of War with the knife in it, and she must be tiny. It is just the littlest thing. I saw so many amazing props. I took a bunch of pictures of them. The he disagreed with something that ate him.
Yep.
Note is there.
Wow.
Oh my God.
The octopus and yo-yo. Yeah. Oh, there's so many good props in
the spy museum.
Cool.
Oh, you have to. You die. The miniature Aston Martin from Skyfall's there.
Oh,
too,
really?
As well as a full-size Aston Martin.
Oh.
And also Zhao's green car from Die Another Day. Thank
it's a Jaguar,
God.
Bro.
Whatever it is.
It's a Jaguar XKR. They used to be at the Peterson Auto Museum. They had they had the Aston Martin Vantage. Sorry. Is it a Vantage? No. What is it? Vanquish. Sorry. The Aston Martin Vanquish. Ugh. Aston Martin calls it the Vanquish. We call it the Vanish. That just popped into my
They're
head.
They're all V names.
And then the XKR, they had them at the Peterson Auto Museum, like facing each other as though they were in a...
They have so many good things. They're the Fabergé egg from Octopussy.
What?
Cool.
Lechiffe's, the velour tux.
Ooh.
Wait, I took some pictures.
I'm going to touch something that Mads Mikkelsen touched.
I know, it's behind glass.
Have we discussed this sort of hypothetical? I'm sorry, I just turned my flashlight on. Have we discussed the hypothetical of, like, if you could have a prop from a Bond movie, what would it be?
I think so, but it probably changes.
It changes so much, but it's just, like, it's such an interesting question. And I'm saying, like, well, take Walther PPKs aside.
Yeah.
And P99s. And PPSs. All the Walthers are gone. And you know, I think you have to take out the cars. So you take out the cars, you take
That's
out
fine.
The Walthers.
Yeah, we have done this, and I'm trying to remember what I chose.
What is it this week for us?
I think for me, I always like the briefcase.
The briefcase from Russia with Love is a very, very good choice.
Well, here's some things to remind you. First of all, here is the miniature Aston
That's
Martin.
Great.
Here is the ball beating rope from Casino Royale.
Wow.
Oh my God.
That alone
I
might take.
Ball beating rope.
I touched balls. Here's the binder with Yusuf's fish chewed face from Quantum of Solace, the picture.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Here
They've
is
got everything.
Lechiffe's inhaler.
I want that. I want that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
yeah, because you want
that might be the one.
You want to like have his kissing DNA on.
Yeah, maybe.
Here's his tux from.
Oh wow.
Here's Fabergé egg. Oh, that's the side view mirror from the Pimpmobile in Live and Let Die.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Great.
Isn't that incredible? Here's the shark bullet that gives us the worst moment ever in James Bond, undisputed by the t-shirt sales. Second. Here's the heart carrier in Living Daylights. They handle like eggs. Jaws' teeth.
Nice.
Would you take that as a prop? I mean, that's pretty iconic.
That's high up there.
Yeah.
You could put it in your mouth.
I can't get over how they could not make that comfortable for him.
I know. Well, when you see it, you can tell it really is molded to his face. Here's the Moonraker white laser guns, which I never realized, if you look closely, are molds of Uzis with a bunch of shit just tacked on them.
Wow.
And colored
just
white.
Just throw some stuff on.
Here's he disagreed with something that ate him.
That's a
good one.
That's fantastic.
Saw yo-yo blade from Octopussy.
Oh.
The gravestone of Teresa Bond in For Your Eyes Only.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I know.
Who owns that?
This is the most amazing thing. It's not a prop, but I want it so bad, and I want it for this house. James Bond wallpaper.
Well, why don't you have that?
I don't know.
That needs
that
to be
must
on
have
the,
been
these
manufactured
walls.
I know. For like a year in like 1964.
I know, but now that I think of it, because our wallpaper in that little lounge was something we made and had printed. Now I should
you can
make
do
a
custom,
James Bond.
But then
wallpaper.
Where are you going to put that?
I think all over the entire house.
Who do you think that was originally marketed to?
The boys, little boys.
Children?
In their rooms. Because I had Star Wars and Cowboys and Indian wallpaper.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about little boys. Let's talk about women.
That was
you
great.
Know, something that is interesting, speaking of things that you want from the movies, is I'm definitely a collector and will buy things related, like even distantly related to movies.
Oh,
there's not a lot of female centric Bond merchandise.
You're right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And even if you were like, you know, all these watches and shoes we talk about on here.
I'm not going to wear a watch.
Yeah. And you don't get a lot of like blogging about what those elements are. The one thing I remember in Casino Royale, they sold that Algerian love knot as a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember for my girlfriend at the time going like, would you ever like that? And before I could even finish, she went, no.
No. It is a very specific kind of design.
Yeah.
It's not even my favorite design of a piece of jewelry, but if I had that, I would wear it.
Yeah.
Just because
I know.
Of that. I don't like that it's gold and silver mixed. I really
is
don't.
It?
I think it is. Every like if you go to like buy one, all of the ones I see are gold and silver mixed.
Interesting.
But it doesn't really show on screen as much.
I wonder if that's even a real thing.
I will say that, you know, the website I often frequent, bondlifestyle.com there, they will let you know everything.
Ooh.
For instance, if you want to know what kind of sunglasses Moneypenny was wearing, you can buy those.
Hmm.
I should look into that.
So I'm what I'm saying is
maybe
I want to open your eyes to this whole other world of Bond lady-centric memorabilia you can purchase. That is not memorabilia.
Right.
It's just products that are placed in there so that the budget is less.
I do have Skyfall nail polish.
Which is what?
It's like three little mini nail polishes, and it's got Severin on the package, and they're all named after like things from the movie.
Oh, my God.
I was very excited for that. Yeah, there's actually been some, like there's the Avon did like a Bond Girl perfume. I got it. It smells terrible. But like they had Strawberry Fields. They had, what's her face?
Gemma Arterton?
Yeah. She was like the face of the Bond Girl perfume from Avon. So it's almost like with Craig's era, I think they started to kind of like, let's see if we can get more women to watch the movies.
Yeah.
Well, for instance, here's one. here's one for you.
Okay.
I bet you're wondering what kind of voice recorder Madeline Swan's talking into in her office.
Oh, I need it.
Oh,
well,
my God.
You can get yourself a Sony ICD SX-1000 16-gigabyte voice recorder for $425 right now.
Sony's voice recorder for her.
Swan is talking into the recorder when James Bond enters her office at the Hofnerkin.
With softer press buttons and a velour mesh speaker screen.
It operates at just the right frequencies for a woman's voice.
Oh, man.
Are you a lady?
Do you speak?
So is Christmas Jones probably bottom of our list for, or top of our list for the worst, or are there others? Mary Goodnight's up there for me.
Mary Goodnight is, you know, I find her to be so problematic just as a whole. It's such a weird, relationship they have.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think it would have been funnier if it was a young man agent that like he was saddled with, like a 19-year-old kid with like
bumbling about,
or like someone Ben Whishaw's age,
or like a 60-year-old woman, you know,
who had changed careers late in life.
Yeah.
I get that. And to that point, why does Bond always have to be rescuing a woman?
Exactly.
I get that you want to make him heroic and save people. I want to see that. But what if it's a family? What if it's a dog?
I will say, at least every once in a while, Superman would save Jimmy Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the times that Bond has been saved by his Bond girls, because it has happened. Vesper saves him. She gets the little defibrillator in. She also saves his life. He doesn't know it after the torture scene, right? Mm-hmm. She's the one that allows him to go free.
Yeah.
Does Camille save Bond's life?
Mm.
Who? What other women save?
Pam? Pretty sure Pam. I mean, she shoots a hole in the wall of the bar.
She's at least instrumental.
So he can get away.
And she dumps that crop dust stuff on all those guys. Yep. Oh, Domino saves Bond from Largo.
That's true, with a harpoon gun.
Yeah, and Melina Havelock saves Bond.
Does Halle Berry save him at
does
all?
Does Halle Berry save him?
Mm.
She gets saved from lasers and ice. ice drowning, I'll call it.
I'm just realizing something about For Your Eyes Only. Remember the whole thing at the end is like,
it won't be worth it.
You'll dig two graves instead of one if you go for revenge, right? So they kind of make this big deal where she doesn't have to shoot the bad guy at the end because Columbo throws a knife, but she also just straight up crossbows a couple people in the beginning of the movie. Like, that's part of her revenge thing. She's already done it.
Expendable people. Wow, yeah, that's interesting.
But she saves Bond at least once in that beginning thing. She shoots a guy. That's when she takes off her mosquito net hat. After the reveal, she's one that sleeps kind of gets under my radar. She's pretty good.
Think of her often.
Yeah, me either.
She could have been on the prettiest list.
Yeah, and of the more effective ones too. And would you guys say that pound for pound, the Craig era Bond girls are probably the best? Like, just as a whole, like if you're taking each Bond's section of Bond girls.
I think, you know, there's...
Or Lazenby, he's got it easy because he's just...
I don't think he has any that suck.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
It's good news.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't... In a way, I sort of buy the Madeline Swan of it all. Like, I buy that relationship towards the end of the movie. In a way. I don't know how earned it is actually, but like... You know, she seems like a reasonable... Like, I buy the whole, like, you fall for your father kind of thing. So she's like...
Ooh. Hmm. Sorry, did I interrupt
please,
you?
No,
I was
please.
Just going to say, if we're talking about worst, BB is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Are we counting her?
Yeah.
I think so.
She's an outlier, but, like, she features.
She's terrible.
Yeah, she
like,
is.
Like, there really, I can't think of anything that's good about that character or performance.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's another one that is the perfect storm of probably bad character and not a great performance. She was probably cast more for her ice skating
abilities. Yeah. But how necessary was that?
Yeah.
I would say kind of to very.
Okay. I will reassess.
Oh, James.
Danny, is there anything else we should cover in notes or anything like that?
I mean, I think we've covered it. It's so interesting to... I think it's completely okay to love this franchise despite very problematic things
with
women.
You.
Just because... some of it is a product of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were the only films out there who didn't really do any favors for women.
Or humans.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a fan. And I totally get when people want to fight about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic.
But, I think there's some good stuff.
It's interesting because some people do really, they especially if they came into the franchise late, watch it and aren't able to separate. I want those people to understand that people like us, we're not watching this and accepting these movies as justifying this behavior. Mm-hmm. We are able to divorce the things that are problematic and understand that they are not good and still enjoy the franchise. And it's not endorsing or condoning any of that. It's fascinating. It is a fascinating topic, and Bond is at the core of it because even itself, it's still evolving, especially through Craig's era. And now maybe this is something we could wrap up on too, that all signs point to the next Bond movie being something to do with this topic and the fact that they're eyeing Helena Bonham Carter as not only one of the Bond girls, but the villain, it looks like. I wonder what that could be. Any speculation? Like what's going on there? I wonder.
He saves her from
she's purely
he saves purely a damsel in distress the entire time.
It's also worth noting she's 52 and she will likely be featured as I think she, even though she's a villain, I think she will be like a Elektra type where it's like probably someone Bond is having romance with in some way, I would think. Knowing Danny Boyle, he's probably going to play things closer to what they would be in real life. Bond, how old is Craig now? He's 51, 52?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
He's in there.
I don't know. It's fascinating. I'm curious to see what they will do.
Yeah. I'm excited for Danny Boyle just because, you know, however it turns out, I don't think it's going to be boring. And again, there are terrible Bond movies that I watch because they're not boring.
Yeah, same.
So I think it's probably good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matt, do you have any predictions?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting to see what these product tie-ins are, guys.
Well, what if it's the Sony for her personal recorder?
Ooh. Well, I might be back in. But now Sony's not distributing internationally.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, Universal.
So now it's going to be a lot of, I guess he's going to be watching Comcast.
All day.
Like, Universal, it's all going to be what is NBC. Gonna be, really? He's going to be watching 30 Rock.
Like, is he going to be like, is his house now going to be adorned with the like Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and Dracula? It's like...
Wow.
He just loves those Universal monsters.
They're going to cross.
Like, they're determined to make this universe work.
They're going to cross Fast and the Furious with Bond.
Oh,
that would be the worst.
10 out of 10 would watch.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, I get not liking them, both of you. I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Well, I can't. I mean, I haven't really watched them, so I can't really.
Yeah, me either.
Here's what I say. My defense of the Fast and Furious franchise. It knows what it is, and it never tries to be something it's not.
That can go a long way.
Ever, for every one of the movies, there aren't any that were
you don't,
off?
You skip...
Tokyo Drag?
Skip one, two, three.
Okay.
Oh, well. Four. Well, that sounds...
Like, it's honestly, it's like five, six, seven, eight.
Half.
Once, honestly, once The Rock shows up...
That's what's doing
that's
it
sort
for
of
you.
Where it gets there.
I would start with The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
But... I have to say, the movies at some point just became self-aware. Mm. And we always worried about that. What would happen if something became self-aware?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It can work.
It actually worked out for us.
Skynet.
Nice.
Danny, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have you back again so long as you're willing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Always. I don't have anyone else to talk to about Bond.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you always have us.
You're in good company.
Cut. And next time we hear from you, you will be a Mrs.
A
Danny Price with all the broadcasting rights of China.
Oh, 100 years of broadcast rights.
And that means James Bonding
will return. James Bonding Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.